Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by GhostBed.com. Sit back, relax, and grab a fucking drink.
Yeah! Welcome to the Monday morning recap on a Tuesday, live from the Super Bowl.
Right on time.
In Arizona. Right on time. First athlete of the week is arguably the most important position on the field. Been saying this for years because I was one.
Right.
We've got a kicker on the show, Mike Vander Yawk. That's how he likes to pronounce it.
Yeah, the Cowboys could have used you a couple weeks ago, by the way.
Oh, my God. My phone was blowing up, actually. They're like, would you get out there, please?
Did you see?
I'm 52 years old. That's not happening.
Did you see Greg Abbott, the governor of Texas, the guy in a wheelchair? He was like, I could kick better than this guy.
Yeah, I didn't see that.
That's tough.
Yeah, I didn't see that.
It's tough to get dunked on by
a crazy thing is, he missed the first one, and I said to my son sitting next to me, I said, there's more to come. Because when you miss that first one, that's not a good start, and the uprights just keep getting smaller and smaller and smaller every time you miss. I mean,
I felt horrible for the guy, but I also felt good for Cowboy fans because they deserve that. They deserve they don't deserve any happiness in this world. They deserve only misery. Mm-hmm. And so when he kept missing over and over again, I was like, you deserve this. You completely deserve this.
Yeah, that's. I'm gonna refrain from comment on that to support your statement, but you're
as a part of the fraternity of kickers.
Yeah,
you don't want to be your own.
As a guy who played for the Dallas Cowboys and missing a kick or two, it didn't go well for me from a stadium standpoint.
Mm-hmm. How many cools were thrown at you? Cigarettes.
My wife and son at the time wanted to leave the game and not sit there any longer. They couldn't handle it. So it was, but I mean, listen, they were right. I wasn't that great when I was in Dallas, so I brought it on myself. Just make kicks and everything's fine, right?
Were they wearing Vanderjack jerseys or no?
They were not, no.
But the Cowboys fans still know who your family was?
No, she was just in the crowd listening to. They weren't talking to her. They were talking to me, but she could hear.
Oh, shit.
She could hear what they were saying. Yeah.
It wasn't like a Cliff Lee with the Yankees situation where they're spitting on her?
No, it was not. So.
Okay. Damn it, man. That one hurts. I've got kids now. You know? God forbid I was out there again, because I could be.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I'm super young. And
we're going down this road?
I've been down this road many times. as you, we talked about this before, as you know, obviously Pat McAfee said no to a punt, pass, and kick competition for charity because he knew he was going to lose. And
is that the reason?
You said otherwise.
I guess he hates kids, yeah.
Yeah, I think he hates kids. I think Pat hates kids. He doesn't have any kids.
He just he wants nothing to do with charity and any of that stuff, right?
He doesn't want to help anyone.
Yeah.
Or
like
kids.
No pores.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
I think he called you a Yahoo, actually, is what really happened.
An internet stooge, I believe. And then he sent me a video.
Yeah.
This is a true story, by the way.
I can't tell what's true and what's fake in this whole entire conversation.
I know. Well, here's what's true.
Okay.
He sent me a video afterward of himself winning the punt, pass, and kick at 13 or 14 years old. And he said, I think I still hold all the records. And I was like, cool, man. That was 30 years ago.
Right.
Like, it's time now.
But that said, I think Andy Reid could still beat you.
He was good. Andy Reid was good. You ever watch those old Andy Reid highlights? Reed,
he was 6'3" as a 13-year-old.
He was a monster.
I've never seen a human. He's Andy Reid
now
at 13.
Yep. Yeah, that video is epic.
Current Andy Reid could probably beat you.
No, dude.
Yeah,
no.
If he goes to Waffle House first, you're fucked.
No, I've got him. So
you can't be serious. Like, honestly, you can't think you can beat Pat McAfee in punt passing.
Mike, here's where I got him, okay? Now, hear me out, all right? Hear me out.
Okay.
I'm conceding the kick. All right.
Well, that's a third of it.
He's an NFL punter, so okay.
Yeah.
You're conceding the kick.
Sure, he is.
So okay. Two-thirds, you already lost.
Right.
He was.
Unless you throw it 800 yards.
He was an NFL punter. Here's the thing. Daddy was also a very good punter, right? So what I said was, it's one because it's one. It's only one kick, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's it. If I could get it to turn over, which is anybody's guess. You've done it, I'm sure, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. If you can get it to turn over, anybody could beat anybody on a given day.
No.
Okay, so let's just... I went to Michigan State on a quarterback scholarship.
I went to Ohio State.
On a quarterback scholarship?
I sure didn't. Okay. Sure did not.
So I led the CFL in punting.
Okay.
I've led the CFL and the NFL in scoring. When I went to Indy, I actually was there to compete as a punter and a kicker.
No
shit. So if you want to do a punt, pass, and kick for charity, I'm in.
Sure. Okay, so let's break down some stats.
Okay.
Punting average?
45.
Oh, fuck. 48. Okay, so I
got you
there.
I want to see how high you can get your leg.
Hang time was 4.9, so I was really good there.
Oh, my God.
Really fucking good there at hang time.
This was 80 years ago, at least.
He's got a 48-yard average at 4.9.
Yeah, at 4.9.
You are literally Ray Guy.
It's not bad, right?
You're Ray Guy.
It's not bad. It's okay.
It's like saying you are a 93% completion percentage, you know, as a quarterback.
Yeah.
Like what your stats are just like, they're unrealistic.
Stats were pretty good.
One of the best of all time.
Stats were pretty good.
Yeah. Like sitting in that chair, he's literally the best of all time.
I did get it. So I got a shit ton of offers out of school.
Okay.
It was like 110. It was a lot, right? I could dump out the box.
110
and do the
offers.
Whole
that's a
it
lot
was
of
nice.
Offers.
It was nice. Okay. Maybe 112, 117.
There's 150 schools.
I'm not
106,
sure.
I think, and he got 110 offers.
Not wow. sure. Whatever, right?
From HBCUs.
Mom's got the box. I can dump it all out. We can go through it again another day.
And where'd you go to college?
That's fine. I went to Ohio State. As a human being.
As a fraternity member.
I went to a fraternity. I couldn't start there. I couldn't start at Ohio State, so I bounced.
Okay.
Tennessee said I could start, and they were fine. I didn't have that good of a time there. I'm not kidding either, by the way. I didn't have that good of a time at Tennessee as far as the partying aspect went. And then I got to Ohio State. Now, the guy that I was up against at Ohio State, Brent Bartholomew, actually did go to the NFL for punting for 6 or 7 years for the Dolphins.
Okay.
And the coach was pretty fucking honest. He was like, son, you're the same age as this kid. We only carry one scholarship here. No, you can sit on the bench and you might get injured, and that's fine. But that's about as far as this might go. And I enjoyed that honesty. So at least I was able to look at it in the mirror and be like, all right, it's time to move the fuck on and just rage in my life.
Okay. It was a good decision, I think.
Which is what happened, yeah. But Brent was pretty goddamn good.
I don't know. With his stats, he could be in the Hall of Fame.
You're right, actually. He took the wrong turn,
maybe. Here's where I'm going.
In hindsight, 48 yards, 4.9 hang.
But if you look at what's going on now, it's not even close. Like, that's not good enough for the NFL. It's not good enough for college.
1,000% it is.
I don't think so.
Literally be the best punter in the NFL if you averaged 48, 4.9 hang time.
If you look at Punt God and all those guys, they're dropping bombs. I think the guy who led this year was in the 50s.
Okay, well, that's one guy.
Is
Punt God in the NFL? Didn't he get, like, he caught some accusations.
He sure did. He got out of those.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, that was the Buffalo guy?
No, San Diego State.
Oh, my God.
Buffalo, you're right.
He played for the Bills.
He was drafted by Buffalo.
Well, no, he was drafted by, by the Bills and then didn't get to play. But I feel, in all sincerity, with kicking and everything else as far as the NFL is concerned, it has evolved so much that you look at some of these numbers. If an NFL kicker walks out there at 55 to kick a field goal, I'm expecting them to make it. It's probably unfair, but that's the world we live in.
I expect nobody.
Well, what's the league average on a 50-plus yard field goal? It's probably like 60%.
Well, look at the guys who are in and out. Harrison Butker. After 50?
It was over 50 when I was – if you were over 50 – if you were over 50% from over 50, you were good. Now it's got to be 60 or 70.
That's the
you
NFL.
Think so.
Yes.
Yeah.
College, I don't expect any kicker to make anything over 45.
There's usually that's one true. Guy in any college season that's a like standout, and everybody else is kind of mediocre.
Which is why everybody plays for like 30 years is because they're just not good enough. How long did you play?
13,
that's a long time. You got pension, you got everything else.
Mm-hmm.
The guys that I studied with, I think were your era, like Chris Moore and those guys.
Yep.
Chris helped me out a lot with technique and everything else.
That's a good old boy there.
He sure is. By the way, he took me to, I went to Alabama at his camp, and I don't think in 2 weeks I saw him without a half a can of dip in his mouth.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
That is Chris Moore at his finest. And he had a great career, too.
He did. I made the mistake of challenging him in high school.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
now, he won.
You're 0 for 1 in your challenges.
Well, I was a small boy. Left on a porch, wooden
but
basket.
But now, today, you could take him.
Yeah, right. Now. I mean, he's got to be, 65?
He doesn't have to stretch, either.
No, I'm good.
No, he just drops a ball and
I'm
hits
good.
Him.
But this is where I'm going with this. Like, I look at the Noah Ruggles kick, which I'm sure you watched the Ohio State-Georgia game, right?
I did.
Expecting that kid to make it from 50 was unrealistic, exactly what Delco said, in my opinion, where we're so used to every kicker in the NFL doing it now, it doesn't seem special anymore, and it is. Like, that dude had never made one over 50 in his entire five-year career.
Yeah, and they played for the field goal.
Well, I mean, it would have been nice to get at least online, or in the stadium would have been good.
Yeah. But what do you think that is, nerves?
100%. I mean, that is a monster kick for a kid. For a kid. It's a monster kick for anybody. Mm. Let's be honest. But
in the moment, yeah.
In the moment, I mean, the clock strikes 12 of New Year's Eve. Yep. New Year. I mean, what an unbelievable situation to be in, you know. And guys like Vinatieri, Justin Tucker, those are the elite of the elite for sure.
Yeah, what goes through your mind in that situation? Is it like Rube from Major League 2 where you're reciting Victoria's Secret ads just to take your mind off the mechanics of what you're doing? Because that'll fuck you up really fast.
Because when you saw that kid, what did you think? Like,
I thought it was asking a lot.
Yeah, I did too. I did too.
I mean, the best technique is to work on a garbage truck in Philadelphia.
Well, yeah. If you're the garbage pick and field goal kick in Philadelphia phenomenon, then for sure.
Right. Boom. Right. Nailed it. Nailed it. I like that.
I have no idea what the fuck you're talking about.
That's okay.
Not familiar with that Tony Danza movie?
Oh, no. I refuse to watch it.
But after that game, everybody was making fun of him, and I'm like, dude.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to go to class on Monday.
Yeah, no.
Fuck that, man.
Well, luckily he's done, but to expect somebody like that to make a 50-yarder is unrealistic to me. But I think, again, with the way everything is advanced, I mean, we're seeing 55, 60 in the NFL on a daily basis. The guy here in the Super Bowl, Harrison Butker, if he comes out to drop a 62-yarder on Sunday for the win, that wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, but that's not necessarily new. Janikowski was doing that shit back in the day, too. I don't think kicking is gone. The average...
Well, Matt Prater's the GOAT.
Yeah, for sure.
Is he?
Yeah, UCF alum.
Yeah.
Vinatieri, dude. He played.
Oh my god!
He was also a raging alcoholic.
Yeah, everybody is. Everybody is. Don't worry about that.
Yeah, but I think Prater does have the record for longest field goal.
Son, that's how the game is played.
Justin Tucker hit his 66 this year, I think.
So. Oh, did he broke Prater's record?
Prater is literally pretty much owns no record.
Yeah, what is he? What did he do? 63.
And he played in Mile High State.
Prater had like 64, 65. No, he was Detroit's kicker.
But he started in Denver,
I don't know that kickers are getting stronger legs. I don't know that NFL quarterbacks are throwing the ball harder or farther either these days. Because Brett Favre threw the ball 78 yards in the little stupid
Michael Vick threw it out of the stadium in
that
commercial.
Was a commercial? That was not real.
That was real.
But baseball, real. If you look at baseball, pitchers are routinely throwing 97 to 103 now. That's a normal thing. So what's the problem with NFL? You know what I mean?
What's the problem? What are you asking?
Well, not the problem, but how are these guys advancing so quickly, to Dan's point?
That's a good question. That's what I'm wondering.
It's weird to me that it's all phases of the game, so it's not just kicking. It's everything else.
Here, moving forward after today, you will know exactly why kickers are better after this statement I'm about to tell you.
Okay, great.
You ready?
Yep.
First of all, the ball. When I played, they had a K ball, which means it was like a pinnacle if you play golf. Now they have a Pro V1, so... The ball that they use.
They're juicing the balls.
It's just worked in a lot more. The seams are broken in, so it's a rounder ball, a fatter ball, bigger sweet spot, all that good stuff. Secondly, I never had a kicking coach my entire life, right? The coach was like, listen, who wants to kick? Yeah, I'll kick, whatever.
Yep.
These guys now, I mean, I coach them. I coach kids from, you know, when they're 12.
Mm-hmm.
So by the time they're graduating high school, I've got them finely tuned, so they're already hitting 50s.
Yep.
45 was the biggest kick I ever hit in high school in my life, maybe once.
Same.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
See, but now 50s for a 8th, 12th grader is common. Like, in all of these camps that are all over the country are just, you know, they keep taking them back to 55 and 60, and these are high school kids.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So the theory is that they just learn quicker, they learn earlier, and they become finely tuned before they ever get to college, before they ever get to the NFL. So between the ball and their upbringing, that's kind of what has led to adding 5, 6, 7. You know, I was good from 55. It was funny. Coach Mora, we had a 59-yarder against the Dolphins last play of the game. It was kind of – and Jim Mora came over to me, Mike, can you make it? I'm like, no. No? Are you kidding me? And then he said field goal, and I drove it and actually would have gone in, but it got tipped at the line because I had to hit it a little lower. But 59 these days, you'd hit it normal because the ball's different and you just grew up kicking for so much longer. So there you go. Now you know.
That makes sense because, again, with Chris Moore and those guys, that was the first year of doing it. They also had another great kicker from Alabama, too, that was there who won a bunch of stuff. And you're right. I think it was the first time that it became specialized is in certain fields of doing it. And I was the same as you. We didn't have a kicker or punter, so it was just like, hey, can you do this? Because right. I played soccer, and I was like, all right, cool. That's exactly what it was.
Exactly.
But now the pressure we're putting on these guys seems to be a little much to me, where that was not a thing 15, 20 years ago at
Plus,
all.
Plus, we got all the Aussies coming in being punters.
Yeah, and I'm not a fan of that because you're taking three steps right, and then it's a end-over-end kick.
So in college, and you're right, in college, but in the NFL you can't do that because in college there's no illegal man downfield. So you can, as a punter, you can hold on to the ball as long as you like, and your coverage team is now 10, 15 yards downfield. In the NFL, if you hold it longer and they're downfield, it's illegal man downfield. So you can only be within a yard and a half of the line of scrimmage when the ball's punted.
Mm.
So there's an Aussie kind of hold on to the ball guy will never make it in the NFL because you can't.
Gotcha.
You with me?
Yeah, I am because, again, you know, having done it.
You're a punting legend.
Been
I
one
forgot.
Of the best of the best, obviously. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, I mean, I look at a guy like you.
He studied everything.
He's grateful to be on a
all the styles.
On a show like ours.
I am.
It's fine.
I am.
No, the only reason I study the styles is they used to, do you know, God, I mean, I'm his son, Chad Kolar. His dad was the offensive line coach for the Falcons, Denver, years and years and years. I think he's still in it now for like 25 years. Mm-hmm. But they used to bring in pros from the Falcons every Friday before our Friday Night Lights game and kind of go over any position you wanted to. So like Chris Chandler and those guys came in and everything else. And you got to ask them all the questions about this stuff. But I was kind of lucky there in that department. So at least I got to learn a lot of the aspects of football. But I feel when I watch today's game, it is so much faster and bigger than anything that I remember, that it is night and day to me. And I'm sure guys like Montana look at like what Mahomes is doing, and they're like, well, fuck, if I had that today, I could throw for 500-600 yards.
Well, you can't hit a quarterback today like you could when Montana was there, for one. Mm-hmm. Two, you can't touch the receiver like you could back then. I mean, jamming and holding.
Yeah.
I mean, they're literally saying, listen, don't touch the quarterback, don't touch the receiver. Well, no wonder they're throwing 70% completion percentage.
Yeah.
Do you remember the size of Montana's elbow by the time he got to Kansas City?
Oh, my God.
It was like, I'm like, is that a fucking goiter on his arm? What is that?
It's
like an eggplant.
It's also for the best that we don't touch the quarterback because we don't need Josh Johnson in the NFC Championship game.
Oh, my goodness. No. What a disaster.
And I'm an Eagles fan, and I still was like, yeah, this
what
sucks.
What a disaster that was.
Or, like, I mean, that Josh Johnson was the best thing that happened in that game because ultimately there was no quarterback for the 49ers, right?
None whatsoever.
Not one that could throw the ball.
Purdy
anyways.
Came back. He's just like, here you go.
Purdy's from here. Did you know that he's from the Valley?
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you think he's going to do next year? You think he'll be able to?
I think he's the guy in San Francisco.
Now that Brady's
got a rehab, though.
He's going to rehab though, for like a year. Close to 12 months.
Oh, well, then
is it 12?
They'll
I thought it was 6.
They'll keep Trey Lance around then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See what they got with him.
They're saying Tommy John, potentially. He's getting a second opinion. That'll put him out for a year. I said Rodgers for Brady would step in because that team to me looked like it could win the next 2 or 3 years if they keep that defense intact. How do you feel about this Sunday's game with the Chiefs and obviously the Eagles? Who you got in this one? I've been struggling with it, man.
Let me just tell you, I took 49ers and Bengals last week.
So did I.
So ask me who's going to win and pick the opposite. You know, I play a lot of golf with Patrick Mahomes, is basically one of his closest friends, so I'm leaning towards the Chiefs just because, you know, I'm at least in that inner circle a little bit. And, you know, the whole theory about they've been there before, you know, you're not sure how Jalen Hurts is going to, you know, he's had a great year, don't get me wrong.
Still
but,
banged
you know,
up.
This is now the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know? Is he going to panic in the pocket and run?
He's not the greatest passer.
Insert.
You know, he's obviously an unbelievable athlete and can run, throw, hand off, but
squat 600 pounds.
Yeah. That kind of stuff that is really necessary in the NFL.
Gets that extra yard. Fourth and one. I'm doing a QB sneak with Jalen every time.
The way they run that, everybody's getting fourth
and fourth
one.
Yeah, fourth and one
days.
QB sneak, I
fourth
think right now is
with
80%.
Three guys behind you.
I think it's
80%
you get that play.
Exactly.
On 1 yard or less now. It's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, that's it's a gimme.
Yeah,
you know, they're doing it on their own 35 now because it's just something
you're just
you can't
pulling
stop.
Your guard. You're pulling your guards and just fucking lighting up the middle.
You know, you
of
put
fucking,
your tight end in motion. You snap it when he's behind the quarterback and you just shove. I mean, it's very technical. Shove.
Yeah.
Let's do the shove play on one.
I'm all in on the Chiefs here, I think, for that exact reasons, by the way. So I've seen Jalen Hurts at his worst. in person, and it was awful.
Well, the entire country saw that.
Well,
and now he's in the Super Bowl.
One though, it was with all NFL execs, and they were like, "This guy."
What, Oklahoma?
Yes, Oklahoma versus LSU, and that was one of the worst games I've ever seen from.
He didn't play that bad,
but they were all wrong.
They got rolled by Joe Burrow.
All those NFL execs said he's not going to be a good quarterback in the NFL, and he's the starting quarterback for the Super Bowl team.
Every NFL player says the same thing. Tell me why you're making that reaction.
Well, because, you know, we can use the Russell Wilson analogy. Okay, Russell Wilson ended up in a great situation in Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody thought, except me, thought Russell Wilson was an NFL superhero.
Yep.
And then you find out that he's really not, right?
Yeah.
I think Jalen Hurts just has himself on a team that literally has great players everywhere.
Well, yeah, it's loaded.
And his ability to run makes a defense load the box.
Mm-hmm.
And that opens up. And when you've got a Heisman Trophy winner and A.J. Brown as your receivers and a great tight end, when a team's trying to stop the run so much, that opens up your passing game. So, and if you actually watch his passes, they're very inaccurate, but they just are caught because there's nobody else around.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But he's causing them to stack the box.
Correct.
He can run.
I'm with you.
It's his own skill set.
But he's probably going to
put him on another team and let's see how he plays, and you're going to see Russell Wilson.
Okay. What about Lamar Jackson?
Similar.
Yeah.
You know, great freaking athletes, studs, great football players. But my theory is at some point, okay, you're down 6 with a minute 20 left and one timeout.
Mm-hmm.
So running for 30 yards is not going to work.
Mm-hmm.
You have to pass your way down the field. And that's where the haves and the have-nots are kind of separated.
Yeah, like a guy like Burrow, even with people getting double covered, as long as he's protected, he can still complete passes. It's a good point.
And Josh Allen. I mean, you'll watch Josh Allen make throws. You're just like, where did that come from?
But I think Hurts.
Mahomes is the same. They just make plays that literally nobody. And who's the greatest quarterback of all time?
Tom Brady.
Could he run from me to you without, you know, needing a snack?
Well, he only eats one almond a day, I think.
Yeah.
So,
right.
Avocado.
Yeah, he would eat it in that one step.
So your ability to run as a quarterback, and obviously it's evolving and the NFL is changing a lot, but the greatest quarterbacks are the ones that can throw anywhere at any time. To me. I might be wrong. I've been wrong a lot.
He'll probably cap out at like 63% completion percentage for his career, if I had to guess. Which is, I mean, it's not terrible. It's not great. Great is 70, right?
It is now. I mean, it's just nuts. I mean,
things just
keeps going up. Yeah, everything keeps going up.
Well, I mean, like Burrow's 73% for his career right now.
Well, you watch those roughing the passer calls in the last 3 months, right? And you're just like, that's roughing the passer? He tackled him.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just getting
they're trying to ban
ridiculous.
Another one now. They're trying to ban the from-behind tackle where you, you know, hitch and roll.
It's called a hop step, which I was unfamiliar with that term when they said it, and I felt like they're almost just making phrases up now.
It's probably something the players use colloquially that the NFL didn't even know about, and then somebody said, oh, yeah, that's a hop step. Like, oh, we got to ban hop step.
I've never
they're just
heard
like
that
the fucking
term
government,
in my
dude.
Life. Yeah.
Fuck the NFL.
It's strange. And
Goodell's such a fucking dummy.
Well, I mean, look,
so dumb.
We sit here on the Super Bowl podcast week.
Oh, yeah,
The NFL doesn't pay us any money. Fuck them.
They do not. No. But our mybookie.com does. Promo code DRINKYBROS doubles your first deposit all the way up to $1,000. And it's a great point because we started the show because we enjoy gambling and everything else. I feel that it's brought an immense interest in the NFL, the ratings, everything else. And it's great for all involved, right? But if it weren't for gambling, I don't know that I would watch some of these shitty teams. And I've said this before on the show in the past because there's not a lot of great NFL teams.
You would.
There's no, you're down to like.
What are you going to watch?
What's that?
What else are you going to watch?
Man, on a Sunday, I would rather flip on. Like, golf has become.
Because of gambling.
Because of gambling, right?
Yeah, but even. With gambling, if the Titans were playing like the Raiders today, I wouldn't watch that game. I might put money on it just for shits and giggles, but I wouldn't.
Because they're like soulless franchises, especially the Titans.
But if I don't
the Titans
have money
are the worst
on it,
franchise
right.
in
like,
sports.
If I don't have money on it, I don't watch that game.
But there are some teams in certain years, like the Lions this year, who overperformed. That they actually didn't overperform. They got a really solid team. They just get overlooked a lot. But they overperformed to expectation, and I gambled on them quite a bit, and I won a lot of overs with them this year. You know what I mean? So that part
Seattle
of it's true.
Seattle, too.
But there's a limit, right? Like, there's certain teams that suck so bad that you just can't, right?
The Texans. I couldn't bring myself to watch the Texans game. I'm a diehard Atlanta Falcons game. Fan. I didn't watch one game, one snap, nothing of that team.
Now, the Falcons right now feel like those early 80s Braves teams where fucking Ted Turner stepped into coach for a couple of days. Remember that shit? People are wearing shorts and shit. It's like
I will say that, I mean, I guess I couldn't disagree more with all of you. But
yeah.
Well, I haven't taken a stand yet.
Okay. Yeah.
But I
if there's a league that any team could win at any time, it's the NFL certainly baseball and basketball. I mean, basketball, there's probably even less teams that could win it than there are in the NFL. And there's always those stats of, you know, a team in the NFC East, for example, that never repeats as conference or division champs.
Like, kind of rotates.
I mean, just back-to-back Super Bowls is rare.
And the salary cap and the draft situation, I think the NFL, out of all the leagues, is doing it the best. Now, you might be right that there are certainly teams like the Texans who stink, the Lions who have stunk for years and years and years, but generally speaking, you know, there's probably a lot more percentage teams in the NFL that could win it than anywhere else.
I don't
else.
Think he's necessarily talking about the overall quality of the product. I think he's talking about, I'm not a fan of Detroit or Minnesota, but I watched that game because I expect 80 points to get scored, and I'm going to gamble on that shit. Okay. I think it's the point he's making.
Yeah.
Like, it's...
And I don't... Because I don't think they can win a Super Bowl.
The more competition...
Who?
Yeah, but if there's ever a sport to watch teams that aren't your team, it's the NFL or college football.
But because of fantasy football and because of gambling, yes. Otherwise, no, for me. That's at least for me.
I mean, it keeps
you
engaged.
More so, like, you're not going to turn on a random baseball game just because.
Well, I'm not going to do that either. You're right.
I will.
But I looked at the numbers today.
You're a baseball guy?
He's a diehard. Yeah, he's a big baseball fan.
I'm tough watch.
I'm autistic, so it's just like I'm watching the angles and the fucking stats and shit all the time, doing math.
Like, Angels A's, I can't think of a worse way to spend
Shohei
4 hours.
Shohei Ohtani and Mike Trout. That's
still, they're not going to make the playoffs.
So who cares? Watch it. You have to watch them in the regular
season. But you're
going
to stand there. You're going to watch them stand in the outfield, get a ball that rolls to them, pick it up, throw it back in, and then stand there for another 20 minutes.
Yeah.
But he's got autism. Like, that type of shit is awesome. You know what I'm saying? Okay. I could throw some matches on the floor, and he would tell me there's 86 laying in the grass right now. And that's rad.
Payne's 32.
Yeah.
Cincinnati.
But for you, do you watch anything? Like, will you sit down and watch all the games?
NFL games, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Okay. No matter who's on?
No matter who's on.
Okay.
Yeah. I agree with that. Yeah. NFL, college football, too. Even I'll watch a Mac game on a Tuesday.
I won't, unless there's money on it. Yeah, there we go. Yeah. Not a prayer.
College, I can watch pretty much anything other than Army-Navy. Because it's just the most boring shit of all time.
It's interesting.
I mean, that's 13-10. Basically like if the 49ers had played themselves in the NFC Championship, that's what it is.
It's beautiful.
No, it's not.
No, it's not.
That's how the game was made.
Yeah, well, that's true. That part's true.
But we've evolved. They haven't.
Yeah. It was before Teddy invented the forward pass.
Yeah, they're not allowed to throw the ball there.
And your team, I mean, you got beat by them, and that was the first time a ranked team had lost to an unranked team without completing a pass. And that's fun for you.
You talking about West Virginia?
Yeah, did you enjoy watching that game? UCF.
Oh.
No, Navy. So Navy. Yeah, Navy beat us this year.
And they didn't complete a pass.
Well, they threw three passes, but they didn't complete any.
They threw one.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was just one?
See, to me, why don't you just stick 10 in the box and just man up the outside? Like, why are you having a safety deep when you know they're not throwing?
Well, they burn you.
I'm with
they
you.
Burned you. They burn you every time.
Once every 3 years, they'll complete one over the top.
Okay, they burned me, but we won 31-7 because they got us.
Also, the troops are dirty. I'll say it.
Well, the Army.
Army, Navy. They chop you at the knees.
Yeah, because look,
okay, then I'm
because they're
then
small.
Because they're not. Yeah, they can't fucking gain any weight. They're not.
And
allowed.
I hate playing the academies because they just play a bullshit offense.
The Navy has the ability to do it. The Navy, you can gain weight. The Army doesn't allow it.
Yeah. But Army keeps
Navy has no excuse. That's why they're more competitive every year, because they have actual offensive
I didn't
tackles.
Know that, actually.
Yeah.
I didn't funny. Know that either.
For the Army, you have to maintain height-weight standards the whole time, no matter what the fuck you're doing.
That's right, dude.
Which is kind of stupid, don't you think?
Yeah.
Because the entire purpose
that defeats the purpose.
Yeah, the entire purpose of the Academy having a football team is press. That's it. It's a TV show. That's all any sport is. It's a fucking TV show.
Yeah, they wouldn't let that one guy get drafted. I remember that.
Like, yeah, I mean,
12 years ago.
Villanueva was a guy too that had to get a waiver. Remember him, the Pittsburgh offensive tackle? Like, what the fuck, man? That's the best advertisement you will ever get.
David Robinson had to serve, right, before he went to the NBA?
He was going to have to, but then he grew 4 inches, and he was too tall to do the job.
He grew to 6'11", yeah. That's true, in college. Yep.
The Admiral,
yeah. Do you watch any NBA?
Oh, God.
It's a hard watch, right?
It is a hard watch.
Why is that?
We were talking today about, so LeBron's probably going to break the record tonight or tomorrow.
These guys are 36, right?
Yeah. 36.
It'll be tonight or the next game.
They're playing Oklahoma City.
And it's like... We were talking about it before the show. Do you remember the last time something happened in the NBA that really captured your attention? I don't remember the last time it was, to be honest. Maybe that Warriors-Cavaliers final in 2016, because it was just back and forth the whole
comeback.
Time.
The comeback.
Yeah.
I would watch the Warriors, though, all the time. I'll watch anything for greatness. And even though I'm not a fan of the Warriors, I will watch them for greatness, and I enjoy that. But you're right. That's probably the last time that it meant something to me where I was just like, all right, shit, I'm watching the game tonight.
Are you watching tonight then if that's the topic is LeBron?
That's what we were talking about. We're not going to probably watch.
Probably not, right? And it's weird to say that because that record I didn't think would be broken in my lifetime. And we're probably not even going to watch it tonight. We'll be at Outback Steakhouse having some Wallaby Darns.
But why? Is it because... that they've just become so political in that league that they've just alienated themselves?
Anybody that gets turned off by the politics of the NBA aren't going to watch the NBA anyway.
I don't know. I'm a big NBA fan, and that shit gets on my nerves.
Mm.
I mean, I have a Jordan tattoo, so I grew up in the NBA, and my
I don't
thoughts
know
of the NBA have decreased
I think it's the softness,
the
right, of
years.
Just how guys are. Just guys sit out every other game.
Well, that's the other thing. Great point, because, you know, the other night when LeBron got fouled in the last play, I think it was the Celtics, right, and they didn't call it.
Oh, you're talking about when he threw a tantrum.
And he lost
like
his mind, right? Okay, follow me with this. He lost his mind because they didn't have a chance to win the game.
Yeah.
But then we'll sit out the next one, guaranteeing a loss.
Mm-hmm.
So he's okay with losing the next night when he doesn't play, but he's not okay with losing because he got fouled.
Yeah, I think it's a simpler answer.
I can't accept your tantrum when you don't care that you lose anyway.
Right.
You know what it is? Nobody in the NBA is cool. There's no cool players in the NBA. Everyone
you would hang out with on a real-life basis?
Everyone just kind of sucks as a human.
Steph Curry talks about social justice all the time, but they tried to build some low-income housing next to his house, and he and his wife wrote a letter to the city asking him not to.
Oh, they shut that shit down.
So that's not exactly on brand for him, is it?
Yeah, they shut it.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Allen Iverson,
point.
Yeah. Very cool. Everybody wanted to be Iverson.
Because if you were to say, listen, who's the most popular guy in the league would be Steph Curry. Mm-hmm. Like he seems like he's just a good dude.
And he plays golf.
Yeah.
What does that have to do with anything?
I don't know. He's just lame.
Don't stop trying to proselytize people in the golf bullshit.
He's not a partier.
Yeah.
And he doesn't want to rip people's throats out. Like, you have a Jordan tattoo. The stories about him are legendary. Drink all night.
Gamble.
Golf all day. Gamble. And then beat the fuck out of people. To a level that was just disgusting.
He was gambling with the fucking stadium attendants, the arena attendants, in the hallway at halftime.
Yeah, dude.
Just flipping quarters at the wall.
Also,
he couldn't get enough.
Best players in the NBA right now are international.
You're right.
Yeah, for sure, yeah.
There's not really... Who's the best American player right now?
Steph Curry.
Steph Curry.
Kevin Durant. One
Kevin
of those
Durant,
two.
Maybe, yeah. Yeah.
Tatum, I guess, is like third.
John Morant.
Tatum will get there.
John Morant, though, plays in a city that nobody really cares about. Like,
he's a beast, though.
Yeah,
Zion. I'm a big Zion fan. I love Zion.
Hopefully I love Zion, but he can't stay healthy.
But he can't stay healthy.
Can't stay healthy?
What about
Kyrie?
When you're 6'8", 320, and you jump out of the gym, bad things are going to happen.
Well, I think getting drafted in New Orleans was just bad for him.
Yep.
Food-wise?
That food. That jambalaya.
Yeah.
That gumbo.
I won't be surprised when the second his contract's up, he's out.
Everything served on
thread. I guarantee he'll be on the Knicks, 100%.
Yeah, I agree with you.
100%.
Him and R.J. Barrett.
He just signed an extension, though.
He might be on the Knicks before that contract.
Bring him
over.
To Charlotte.
5 years.
The Knicks are so stupid.
Charlotte.
The Knicks will trade them, like, all their first-round picks
for
the rest of
the league. What a contrast in owners when Jordan is just all about winning, 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 and then you're the owner of the Charlotte Hornets who...
He's getting it together.
Don't even make the playoffs.
Nah,
they don't
bad.
Sign anybody.
They're not bad this year, right?
They're not spending money, that's for sure.
They just don't spend money because they don't have it to spend there. Trying Jordan's to get asses got, in the seats up
Jordan's
in Charlotte
got plenty
is
of money.
Tough. No, not him. He's, everybody says the same thing. He's guarded with it, where if it makes sense, he'll spend. If not, he won't. And right now, who's the biggest free agent signing they've had? Kemba Walker? I mean, it's tough, man.
They drafted LaMelo.
They drafted him, but that's on a rookie deal. But, you don't have to pay for that.
Who's the white guy from Butler?
Gordon Haywood.
Yeah, him. Yeah. That's their biggest signing.
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
Post ankle destroyed.
Dude. Yeah. Remember, he got his leg broken in half out there.
Game one, yeah.
Yeah, it's strange to say. We're not going to watch the scoring record tonight. If that was Jordan or Kobe, I would have set my alarm on my phone, and I wouldn't have missed a second.
Like, we all watched Kobe's last game where he scored, 1,000 points.
I cried, dude.
Against my Raptors, I think it was, too, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was the 81 game.
Oh, that was the Raptors.
Shit, I think he played the Raptors twice. You're right, 81 and his final game.
I think it was, too.
Doesn't even have to be that big, right? I would watch Marbury break the record.
Maybe.
In China or America?
I'd throw my VCR tape in China, for sure, and record tonight.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You got to record over something, though.
Well, you can DVR now.
Yeah, record over SNL or something back for sure. That was good.
Wedding video. We were trying to think of some of the events over the past, 25 years or so that we would have known that were going to happen in advance and definitely been in the seat for. The chase in 98 with the home run record was one. Barry Bonds chasing records later on was one.
Well, Tiger doing anything on a golf course.
Pretty much any Sunday where he's wearing red and he's confident, I'm watching that one.
That was must see TV for sure.
How many people watch golf today because of Tiger Woods, honestly?
And play it.
Yeah, I mean, everybody that plays golf now is Tiger.
He changed it.
Look how everyone plays now, all the kids that are coming up.
I mean, and then
it's all Tiger influence.
Yeah. We've been saying be like Mike for 45 years now.
I know.
Right? But there's no be like Luka. There's no, I mean, like, honestly, these guys are great players, but
be like Kyrie, dude.
They don't have whatever Jordan had and,
oh my God.
And Luka and Kyrie, that's going to be a combo.
Whatever Jordan had and fucking Kobe had, LeBron just doesn't have it. I think everybody knows it.
He's just
that's
a bitch.
That is a great analogy. That, I mean, it's Jordan 1, it's Kobe 2. Yep. It's not even LeBron 2.
No, he's 3.
I agree. It's not Kobe 2.
What? I've got Kobe 2.
No.
Who do you got it to?
Kareem. Kareem's 1, first off. Kareem's 1, Jordan's 2.
I mean, Bill Russell's in there, too.
No.
You can say that he played against garbage men and shit like that, but have you actually seen the tape of him playing?
Yeah.
He gets a ball at half court, takes 2 steps, and dunks it, and he's running past all of these smaller, faster dudes. Well, they weren't faster, I guess, but...
I would take, 4 other Lakers before I take Kobe.
I think Bill... Well, that's stupid.
That's gross.
Three. Shaq, Kareem, Magic.
For a whole career?
Yeah. Over Kobe.
I could say Kareem out of that list, but that's about it.
We forget about the dick days of Kobe, where he was just, pretty much forcing the franchise into signing a bunch of bums because his contract was so massive.
Well, that's what Aaron Rodgers is doing now. So, yeah. I remember. As I watched it. But he pulled out 5, and 5 was good enough for me as a fan, where I was just like, hey, dude, I don't really care about all the dickish shit you did. You got 5 done. And
we don't give Pau Gasol enough credit for that season.
Oh, God, dude.
If you go back and look at the stats, he was incredible.
Yeah. He's okay.
Also, Lamar. Lamar was awesome before crack.
Before crack.
Well, he may come back.
That's BC. That's Lamar BC before crack. He was pretty decent, but he certainly didn't have the help that – he didn't have a Kyrie on that team.
I don't think any – the last 2 titles that Kobe won were worse overall than any of the other titles won by the other guys we're talking about. He pulled that team to victory, right?
Yeah.
Like, Jordan had a pretty good two sets of teams.
Dwight Howard.
What's that?
He beat Dwight Howard.
So what? You play who you play against, but his team was not nearly as good as the other Lakers three-peat he was on. It wasn't as good as any of Jordan's teams.
LeBron wants Steph Curry to come to the Lakers. Like, he's all about, I'll take him. Yeah, can we get him?
Yep.
Yeah, Kyrie, I'll take, yeah. You. I mean, dude, try just winning a game
with what you got. He wants to be friends
with everybody.
Right.
Yeah, he wants titles no matter how he can get them.
What's that participation trophy bullshit?
Oh my
they just
God.
Want to be friends, and, like, work together in the offseason. No, fuck you, dude.
Well, we don't count the bubble year.
Bubble ring doesn't count.
No, that's not.
You know, leaders, and you got into some fucking hot water over this. years back for
I don't know what you're talking about.
Peyton Manning.
Did you say I yelled at Peyton Manning? Is that what you said?
Yeah. There was a rumor that he didn't want it bad enough, and neither did Tony Dungy. And they weren't in people's faces enough.
Tony Dungy is in everyone's face nowadays. It is not
he should not be announcing, by the
way. No, he should not be on TV. No. He should not. Just go away, Tony.
Tony's a great human being. Mm-hmm. So let's start with that.
Good person, yes. Yes.
However.
Well, I mean,
he's pretty universally loved.
We went from Jim Morris Sr., who was a screamer.
Yeah.
Playoffs.
He was like, Yosemite Sam, that motherfucker.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? Playoffs?
He was like the Earl Weaver of the NFL.
I mean, we were in a practice one time, and Jim Moore was at this end, and there was a guy sitting on his helmet, and the whole practice just went, oh, God, what is he? And he went walking, just because the dude was sitting on his helmet.
Yeah.
In the middle of an NFL practice. But then he felt bad. Like, he was one of those guys that would yell at you, but then feel bad for doing it, and then make a joke or go over and try to make light of it. And so I love Jim Morris Sr. I think he's fantastic.
What about Peyton?
Peyton and I are boys. Like, we have the same birthday. We played 3 more years together. The funny thing is, you know, after that whole thing went down, I walked into the weight room the next time we had a mini camp, and I walked over to him, and I'm like, dude, what were you thinking? He's like, what was I thinking? What were you thinking? I was like, yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, fair enough.
What kind of numbers was Peyton putting up in the weight room?
He's shredded. He's
315 for reps,
I got a happy birthday text from him this year. I texted him the other night. We were both in Vegas together. You know, when two buddies that have played together and hung out together, and believe me, I sent him an email just maybe 3 months ago. I was like, listen, I have a 23-year-old son. I try to tell him, listen, don't live with regrets.
Yep.
Make good decisions. And I told Peyton, I said, listen, one of the biggest regrets I have was doing how I did that interview. And I said, you don't need to respond to this email. I just said, I just wanted to let you know. So I got an email back. He goes, listen, dude, that was way in the past. I appreciate our friendship. You know, we're all good. So, you know, I felt better that I've said, hey, just to let you know.
Yeah.
It's not one of my prouder moments.
Are you watching his...
That's why he's not Tom Brady.
Are you watching the Manning cast?
I watch it occasionally. Yeah, it's funny because I'll text him in the middle of it, and they'll go to commercial, and he'll text me back. So they talked about bringing Justin Tucker on one time because I guess Justin was kicking the next Monday. Mm-hmm. He's like, wouldn't it be great if Justin would be mic'd up and be on our show in the middle of the game? So I texted him. I said, listen, by the way, I was Justin Tucker before Justin Tucker. So he gave me the thumbs up or whatever he responded with.
I watched the first couple, and now it's dependent on who the guests are. Because I don't even pay attention to the game. It's too hard to pay attention to the game with he and Eli are fucking, they're retarded. They're just talking shit the whole time. Yeah. I can't pay attention to the game. If they have good guests on, I'll watch that shit. I flip over for it.
Do it if it's a shitty game. Where I would rather watch them than the game
itself. Yeah, but it's always Monday night, right?
It depends. They got lucky this year, I felt like. They had some good ones.
They used to have just dog shit games on Monday night.
It used to be bad.
They've got a great guest lineup, though. They got the who's
who of. There,
tons.
I'm waiting for the call, so just, Peyton, if you're out there, listen, hook me up.
He definitely watches this show.
For sure. Him and Eli.
Yeah. They're trying to get some material.
Eli tried to go, and
I get that. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
He tried to go to Penn State as a walk-on recently.
Yeah, I sure did. Did you see that?
I'm not sure how the 40-something-year-old is trying to play it off like he's a college kid.
Yeah, he did not. I mean, there's hair and makeup people out there that could really do it, but whoever that was
I mean, it worked
good
for Jared Goff because Jared Goff was 24.
Thank you. So my son is the quarterback at the school where Jared Goff did it.
Really? So right now?
Well, at Ventura, when they brought in a kid and they were like, listen, quarterbacks, you know, we're bringing in this kid, you know. And when they show the two quarterbacks that are sitting there, one of them's my son.
Yeah. No shit.
This is back when he was with the Rams.
And then Jared goes over to my son. He goes, hey, you know, what are you, the punter? And my son's like, no, I'm the quarterback.
How is that for you as a father?
It's had like 25 million views something. Yeah. Like It's fantastic. You know, everybody's like, is your son a kicker? I'm like, hell no, he's not a kicker.
Yeah.
Thankless job. Holy cow. You make 99 and they want to talk about the one you missed.
Yeah, no shit. Do you ever watch that one that Greg Maddux did?
It's no, but it sounds familiar. What's
Chris Bryant, who was at the Cubs at the time, was trying to film a commercial, I think with Gatorade or some shit, and like, oh, the guy that's supposed to throw your BPs out today, and he's like dressed as a fucking grounds crew guy. He's like, oh, I can throw a little bit.
So Maddox comes
yeah.
out.
Oh yeah, and he's just throwing him cutters and sinkers and shit. And Chris Bryant's like, fuck, man, I can't hit this guy. And finally, he's like, oh, you're Greg. You sound like Maddox.
I haven't seen that.
Yeah, it's great.
Maddox has got to be 50. How's he throwing heat against?
He's not.
Brian?
He was throwing an 82. He was throwing like in that video,
mid 80s sinkers and cutters. Though
it didn't matter. His movement's so sick that it.
And then iced him's arm for the next week.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
That's like everybody's like, why don't you go kick all my buddies? Ah, you need to be out there. There's guys worse than you. I'm like, I'm 52. I could kick on Sunday, but don't ask me to kick until next Sunday. Like, there's no way I'm practicing during the week.
Yeah, well, you could just do LeBron's schedule and kick every 4 days.
There you go.
Every
4 weeks. You're fine. Yeah. Load management is what you're doing. That's it. Exactly. Is your kid good enough to go to the NFL?
I love you, Jay. No. you never know. I mean, he's good enough to be a starter in college. Mm-hmm. You know, he's Canadian, so he'll get drafted in the CFL. And, you know, there's CFL quarterbacks that go back to the NFL all mm-hmm. the time.
Got
so,
USFL back.
You know, he's young and... You know, 5 years from now, he could be a stud. I mean, he's almost 6'3", smart kid, great athlete, dunked a basketball in the 11th grade. So, you know.
What'd you say, he's 19?
He's 23.
23, oh, shit.
Where's he playing?
So the funny thing is, he's actually going up to a university in Canada this year. And he kicks and punts, right? Like, he grew up doing the punt, pass, and kick thing his whole mm-hmm. life. He won in Arizona. He won and got on the field at the Dolphins. So he kicks and punts twice a year, just for no other reason than to just be able to say I can make a 45-50 yard field goal. So I sent the punt and kick film to the head coach of the team he's going to play for this year, and a week later I get a call from the special teams coach, and he's like, hey, by the way, your son is our kicker and punter this year too. So he's literally going to be the starting quarterback, kicker, and punter.
No way.
So him and I have been working a lot longer and a lot more than we have in the past. So
So I guess the fake punt's an option on every single punt now.
Well, and there's only three downs in Canada. Yeah. So on third down, if your quarterback is your punter, mm-hmm. you are going to be able to do some great things. You can't have a safety drop because now you're playing mm-hmm. in Canada 12 on 11, mm-hmm. and we'll throw for first down. And if you don't drop a guy back and you play defense, then he'll just pop it over your head 40 yards, no return all day long. So it really is an advantage. So
he's the Shohei Ohtani of the CFL is what you're saying.
He is he's the Taysom Hill of the Canadian Football League. So
I just appreciate the honesty mm-hmm. because having coached kids, and I coach my kids, and especially in Texas, we all live in Texas, I don't feel like parents are honest about whether or not they're every parent.
Can you already see it in your kid?
No, I would have said the same thing as you did. Like, if you were asking me today, mm-hmm. no.
Probably not.
Absolutely not. And
what are their ages, by the way?
Eight.
Eight.
You can tell who's better than everybody else. And, like, you know, if I was forced to sit down and look at, because he's only in baseball and soccer and stuff like that, I could give you 15 other kids in there.
Yeah.
He plays hard and he enjoys it. Dan and I always talk about this on the show, where I think teamwork is important, and I think it helps you in life.
Have you benched your child yet?
No, I haven't had to.
Okay.
I haven't had to yet. Okay. It'll come a time at Thanksgiving, though.
My son cared about football as much as he cares about fishing, he'd be a lot better football player because he's a fishing fanatic and
drives
me nuts. But anyway,
yeah.
So I digress.
You make that.
But I coached Christian Kirk in high school at Saguaro down here, and everybody was just saying, "Oh my God, you're the man. You're gonna go play on Sundays." And mm-hmm. so I was like, "Listen, Friday, okay, just be successful on Friday, and then get to Saturday before you ever worry about Sunday." So I called him Friday all the time. So then he obviously went to Texas A&M. I was like, so I started calling him Saturday. So I congratulated him when he got drafted on Sunday by the Cardinals. He's like, hey, you're going to call me Sunday now, right? I was like, absolutely. So my point is, you never know, right? You don't know what's on Friday before you figure out what's on Saturday, before you ever figure out what's on Sunday. So, you know, all these kids that everybody says, oh, he's going to be in the NBA, or he's, you know, 6'9". You know, sophomore in high school. Oh, he's guaranteed the NBA. Listen, relax. You know, let's just go through the process and figure out. Let him get successful in college before you anoint him the next LeBron James. Is that
exactly?
Well, no, LeBron James actually anointed himself.
He did. He, named
he gave himself the
he
nickname, the chosen one, and then he got it tattooed on his own fucking body.
Sure did. Sure did. It's confidence. I tell the parents and the kids the same thing. I'm like, look, I hope so, man. and maybe you're the one that does it, but from what I'm seeing here from right now, that's probably a hard no. Mm-hmm.
Well, if you look at if you look at like
with such an iconic dad, I don't know how that's possible.
I mean, know you've got to be honest about what you can do.
The genetics skip the generation.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, yeah.
He's got that.
No lie. So let me ask you this.
That stud breed. I don't know.
But for me personally, when I, like, looking at the numbers in high school, I was like, I'm not good enough to go to the NFL. If I couldn't monetize it, my wife and I have the same opinion on life. If you can't monetize it, look for something else to do, which is kind of why I made that decision. And for you, though, as a kicker, you don't know until you keep going along. Was there any thoughts of quitting at that point, or were you bombing 60-yarders in high school?
This is a great story, actually, for all you kids out there, okay? A 45-yarder is the longest kick I ever made in high school, and it was one time.
Agreed.
I don't even remember.
Same.
I don't remember making more than 5 field goals in my entire high school career.
Yep.
Okay. Went to Michigan State as a quarterback and a punter. Wasn't playing. Left. Went to a junior college in California. Was the starting quarterback, punter, and kicker. Then I got to West Virginia. Punted my junior year. Kicked field goals my senior year because I got beat out by Todd Sauerbrunn, who came in as a freshman punter from New York. Okay. Drafted by Saskatchewan, mm-hmm. the Rough Riders in the Canadian Football League. Played 2 games, went to my sister's wedding, came back in time for practice, but didn't go to practice because I guess I just didn't feel like it. Got cut the next day. Went back to Koenig Sporting Goods in West Virginia for $4.25 an hour selling shoes. 94 went to the Argonauts, got cut. 95 went to the Argonauts, got cut. Then I got signed by Hamilton, got cut. Then I went to the 96 and 97 Argos. Doug Flutie was my holder. Yeah. We won 2 Grey Cups and then made it into the NFL. But I got – oh, I went to the Minnesota Fighting Pike in 96, too, in the Arena League. Got cut after 2 games because I kept kicking off out of bounds. But then ended up the most accurate kicker in NFL history.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So cut,
yeah, what did
cut,
you end up?
Cut,
86.5%, I think, right?
You know.
Well, what was the difference? Do you remember specifically what –
something click.
Yeah.
Yes.
He found some of your old tapes.
That's right.
Well, and I still sell those. Those are like Tom Amansky videos for
kickers.
He's
like the Fred McGriff.
Yeah, I'll give him to you after the show. It's 18 easy installments of $68.99. So
I was playing in 96, trying out for the team. There was an American punter, actually, coincidentally, from the University of Arizona, Rich Fall. Rich, shout out.
Big Rich, yeah.
We alternated kicks in pregame. And we went into overtime in a preseason game. And it was his turn to kick next. And it's overtime back in the either make it or miss and game's over. So it wasn't like we could keep. So I had my shirt untucked. And the head coach in Toronto, who coincidentally was the head coach in Saskatchewan in 93 when he cut me, is now the head coach in the team that I'm trying to get in 96. He goes, hey, by the way, you got the next one. So I'm just like, oh, my God. Tuck my shirt back in, go warm up. And I ended up walking out. And at the time, you know, Doug Flutie's a CFL legend. Mm. Like, he had already won however many Grey Cups. And the greatest, you know, he's making $1 million where nobody else is making more than 200 grand. Like, he just. So I'm walking out for a 38-yard field goal to win this game in overtime. And Doug Flutie's the holder. You know, it's a. For a Canadian kid and who's been cut all over the place, everybody could say, well, it's only the CFL. How much pressure could there really be? Well, huge pressure for a kid that wants to try to get a job playing professional football. So, anyway, I made the kick, and they cut the guy the next day, and, you know, I had 2 great years in Toronto. And I would say that moment there was probably the kick. And if you miss that one, there probably isn't any of this, right? Then, you know, you've been cut 5 times. Maybe it's time to go try something else.
So, how wild is that?
It is unbelievable.
Because, I mean, if you miss it.
Just one kick.
Yeah. That could be it. Because
that's
let's face it, that Mar guy is gone next year. There's no way they're bringing him back.
He's Canadian, by the way, too, which is coincidental. But, you know, I'm really surprised they even let him kick the next week.
Same.
Like, Jerry, that's Jerry, though, right?
Like, and if they're going to, and if they would have said to him, listen, you're going to be good next week, right? Like, don't worry about the, what's he going to say? No? Like, he's going to say, yeah, I'm good. But even though I'm sure inside he's like, fuck, I have no idea whether
he made
I can
the
make
field
a
goals.
Kick.
Well,
that's what I said.
Was a chunk hook.
It was awful, and I was on the phone with you, and I go, hey, dude, that wasn't going in.
No, it was not.
And then they came back from commercial, and sure enough, you know.
But then he started making them.
No.
It's just like that.
Yeah, but
it
was after a 45-yard field goal. This is what I actually wanted to ask you about this. So my buddy Jason, he's a former Navy SEAL, and he does anti-yips training for people, right? Like the mental focus part. He helped Tyler Matzik from the Braves a couple of years ago and a bunch of other athletes, a lot of kickers actually. And one of the things that I think is probably going to be useful in a situation like that is to put you out there at 45 or 50 yards and to say, make it, because you got to kick the fuck out of the ball. Can't sit there and think about it like you can from 30 yards for a fucking extra point. You know what I mean?
But I had the yips my last year in Indy and my 1 year in Dallas. I couldn't make a thing in practice, couldn't make a thing in pregame. And in Indy my last year, I missed 2 field goals the entire season. But couldn't make – I mean, I didn't know whether it was going in or out. So, I mean, you could sit there and go, hey, don't worry about it. You know, just be smooth and hit it. Listen, if you've got the yips, you've got the yips. You know, they can tell you all you like, but it's not going – in my mind, it's not going in. Like, it's not like, oh, I'm good. It's really like, no, this ain't going in. So
how do you deal with that?
Yips are a real
Oh, it's definitely
you retire.
A real thing.
That's what you do.
I mean, there have been a lot more people who retired because of that than people who came back from it, for sure. Like Chuck Knobloch's one of them.
David Duvall,
yeah. I mean, there's been quite a few people that have just that's it.
Rick Ankiel's even one. Well, Schmaltz came back from it, but
Rick Ankiel came back as a hitter, though.
Yeah,
not a pitcher.
And a center
Knobloch
fielder.
Not being able to throw the ball.
That was
from
crazy, dude.
God,
Tiger had the chip and yips for a bit.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did here at the Phoenix Open a couple years ago, he had the chip and yips.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy, isn't it?
Yeah.
Crazy.
I've got the golf yips right now.
Yeah, you're terrible.
I have.
What's your handicap?
It was a 3. Oh, and sure. I have 6 balls in my pocket. Just keep dropping it until I'm a mess golfing right now, and it's the same kind of thing. It's just like, but I have that mentality of I have to be fantastic. Like shooting 80 for me is a nightmare.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just how I'm made up. So, you know, if it's not dead down the middle, I did something wrong and I'm annoyed with it. And then, you know, and then you get all squirrely. So
are you in the pro-am tomorrow?
No.
Okay.
Hell no. And they're just like, you're a field goal kicker. Like if somebody walks up and watches me tee off, I'm a mess.
Yeah.
And they're just like, dude, you're in the most pressure-packed position in all of sports as a field goal kicker in the NFL. Why is that guy driving you nuts?
Because
it's a ball and a tee with a club. It's not my foot and a ball.
Well, you probably always wanted to be a professional golfer.
Well, I thought in the last 5 years, I was like, you know what? I'll get good by the time I'm 50.
Champions Tour.
I'll get in the Champions Tour. I'll get some exemptions because, you know, obviously I'm the man.
Yeah, of course. Mm-hmm. Of course. Yeah.
Has anybody actually done that? Like, I thought John Smoltz was going to do it, but he's just stayed in the booth.
Well, Romo was kind of the closest to it. Right?
Romo's close to it.
Romo's played like a PGA Tour or like Korn Ferry event.
Yeah.
I think he played
in the Bahamas,
Byron Nelson in Dallas and didn't make the cut.
Mm.
I played golf with Romo when I was in Dallas. He was my holder in Dallas.
Oh, was he really?
Yeah.
Are you still homies with him at all?
I don't talk to him. I mean, I actually, my last game in the NFL was Thanksgiving against the Bucks. And the next day I was playing golf on the Dallas Cowboys golf course and my phone rang and it was a private call. And I was like, hello? Hey, Mike, Jerry Jones here. I was like, oh, God. Can I finish my round? Is that okay? Yeah. So,
you know at that time when the call came in that you were getting cut and that was it?
Yeah.
Did you know it was a career?
And I made my kick and I had a touchback in the Thursday. Like, I didn't miss on my last game. But even my 29-yarder snuck in the right upright. I just...
got to go out on make.
But I missed 4 kicks the entire year. The year I got cut. And 3 of them hit the upright.
Shit.
So that's me... spraying it all over the place, apparently.
Yeah.
But Parcells, I guess, had seen enough, and they brought in Gramatica, and the playoff game was when Romo dropped the snap.
Sure is.
Seattle.
Is it like lacrosse, though, where kickers take kind of pride in practice to hit post?
if you're messing around on the side, for sure, but not necessarily in an NFL football game. Hitting the post is not
You don't want to double doink.
More practice, yeah.
Yeah, no, not the double doink.
Yeah, if you want to tell Parcells,
and it's funny, the double
himself.
Doink. Sorry, the double doink right in Chicago. Then the next day, a bar had they brought out uprights and they had people kick, and they were like 0 for 108 or something like that. Like not one dude who tried to kick the exact ball that they probably MF'd this guy up and down for.
Oh yeah,
they went 0 for.
Yeah, which is wild. So what do you do after you quit then?
Well, I own my own company in both U.S. and Canada, and Bo Jackson's a partner of mine, and Johnny Damon's a partner of mine. And
Johnny's been on the show. We love Johnny.
Yeah, Johnny's a good dude.
Johnny's
he's
a good dude.
Rocks with Johnny.
Yeah, that's not surprising.
Yeah, he's a very thirsty guy.
He is. He enjoys staying hydrated.
Yeah, he sure does.
Yeah.
And what do you guys do there?
So it's vinyl decals, similar to Fathead. We don't like to say the F word in our company, but... vinyl decals of athletes, entertainers, influencers. We have our own app so where you can scan it which is unlike anybody else that's doing around the world. So we're really cutting edge stuff that, so an influencer who's got a million followers could actually sell their slap it on of themselves and now upload content that you can't get anywhere else, which makes it kind of really cool little deal.
That's awesome. I'm looking to get about eight of myself. How much do they run for?
Well, what size? We'll have to talk after.
I need a big head, big, dude. I want life it looking size, down. Yeah. I want a shiny your
punting,
spy balloon
I need
head.
You to have your punting form. We'll get a nice...
He can't do what you just... He can't do that. What you just did, he can't do that.
Yeah, let's see where
can I use that picture?
Not one fucking
yeah,
prayer.
Absolutely.
Okay, perfect.
Now, he'll be in the hospital if he tries to do what you just did.
I almost died last year.
Just snap his hamstring right there and have it go 20.
You'll hear it curling up like a fucking window blind.
Exactly. Very, very flexible. Better than Swayze.
By his ass.
Better than Swayze in Roadhouse.
What's
very,
the name of the company,
flexible.
By the way? You didn't see it.
Slap It On.
Slap It On. Okay.
Slap It On. And you guys have an app?
We do. We have a Slap It On app for both Android and iPhone. And Bo Jackson, we just signed on, which is fantastic.
That dude is a fucking animal. Jesus Christ.
Real quick story is, I had Urlacher and I had Troy Aikman. And so I was talking to Bo about that. And I was like, well, you know, they just weren't that receptive to phone calls. And I couldn't really get a hold of them. And Bo was like, listen, if I tell you I'm going to be shitting in your tulips tomorrow morning, yep, you best be know my black ass is going to be out on your front porch.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay. And every time I call him and, you know, he's going to be here Sunday, he's very responsive. Great dude. Love Bo.
I really
do
feel
you want
like
Urlacher's number?
No, I'm good. I got it, actually.
Okay. He's one of our co-hosts on the show.
Is he?
Yeah. So we'll be here Thursday.
Brian and I are boys. And when I didn't have Brian, I was like, dude, just sign the contract and you're in. He's like, I know, dude. I'm sorry with emails. I'm awful.
I just told him that story right before you walked in.
He walks down the hall to his home gym and works out and then goes and plays golf every day. Yeah,
exactly. I just told him that before the show started. I go,
he didn't give a shit.
Here's the thing with him is like he just lives in this routine. He doesn't really go out that much. Doesn't seek fame or any of that other stuff. So like it's not because he doesn't care. It's just
not his thing. No, you know, I get it.
Yeah.
A friend of mine who's a part of Slap It On is actually, she lives with Brian's agent, so they're actually staying at Brian's house this week. So
yeah, he's a great guy.
I love Brian.
But he just
I have nothing.
He hates money. I tell him that all the time. I'm like, you hate money, dude. Like
he's got enough money. He doesn't give a shit.
You could always have more.
Well, another funny story is Joe Carter's a friend of mine. So you remember the home run that Joe hit? Yeah.
Sure do. Yeah.
So
he definitely remembers. He's a Phillies guy.
Well, I was two.
So we put a Slap It On the outside of a plane before we got on.
Was it Mitch Williams?
And we videoed it. It was Joe Carter.
Oh.
So yeah, awesome. I was like, let's just see if this Slap It On makes it to our destination. So we videoed it, got in the plane, traveled 40,000 feet, got off the plane, and Joe Carter was still on the outside of the plane.
That's great.
So I sent that video to Joe, and he's just like, that is unbelievable. That's the greatest video I've ever seen. So we take pride in the fact that who we are can get us into kind of any relationship and at least have a conversation with just about anybody out there, which makes us unlike any other. So Kobe Jones, the greatest U.S.-born soccer player, is a partner. And Steve Smith won a championship with the Spurs, is our basketball guy.
That's so awesome. Hell yeah. He played for the Hawks all those years.
He did.
He was fucking good.
Yep, he did.
We watched him we did an event at the 3-on-3 league in Vegas, and it looked like still drop
Steve's
30
out there
a game.
Doing it?
Yeah, he was playing.
I don't know if he's still doing it now, but he was 2 years
we
ago.
Did that, yeah, we did it like 2 years ago, and I was like, dude, he could still drop 30 now. Like, I don't know why he stopped playing.
A lot of people say he's got the sweetest stroke of all time. Like
a lot of people.
It's good. He was just very quiet.
Yeah. I mean, like, just from a pure shooter standpoint, him and Clay are the two dudes that usually get brought up.
J.R. Smith.
Yeah.
J.R. Smith. For the first 12 years of his career, he was like one of the – he was
Denver
all time in three-point percentage. Right behind Steve Kerr and who was the other one? Fuck.
J.R. Smith was legit.
Mark Price, I think.
At one point.
It was Kerr, Mark Price, and then J.R. Smith for a long time.
J.R. Smith's playing golf. He's got a better game than Vander Jack right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, he's playing.
So do you.
He's playing in college.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks for being here, man.
No problem. I had a great time.
I know you probably weren't expecting this walking in, but.
Hit me up anytime. I'm good.
We're huge fans, and you had a great career. Good luck to your kids. And then tell everybody where they can find your company.
SlapItOnOfficial.com is, and we actually have something really cool in the works that you're going to be like, oh my God, why didn't he just break that news on our show? But I'm under an NDA, but we have an unbelievable thing coming that you're going to be like, oh, that was cool. That's
Oh, we'll have you back on and talk about it when it's
done. Yeah, for
that'd
sure.
Be great.
So. Is it
that'd be great. It's not, but it's fantastic.
Okay. All right. Amance. Yep. We appreciate you being here.
No problem, guys.
For Papa Giorgio, D'Anthony Holloway, Delco Dan, and Mr. Vander Yacht, because you've earned it. You've earned it.
Yeah, we'll go
You're
with that.
A fancy little Frenchman. I'm Ross Patterson. This is the Drinking Bros Sports.
I was about to say I'm Dutch.
Monday morning recap. Good morning, everyone.
Go Bears.